can Tacloban and recover? Well, with sufficient supply and commitment to recovery on both sides, government and citizens, it will. Devastated cities of World War II in time recovered. Warsaw in Poland, Manila, even Hiroshima and Nagasaki, the dropping points of the atomic bomb, they all recovered, and many more can be cited. But when cities recover from devastation, they are like new, but they do not entirely erase the past. Kapag nanumbalik ang mga syudad, ang mga lungsod na sinira ng iba't ibang kadahilanan, para siyang bago. Ngunit hindi nito mabubura ang kanilang pagkakarugtong sa nakalipas. Something like this is happening on a grand scale. And it is not just a city. It is creation itself. But it is something that can only be known and perceived by those who have faith. And this year, we were given the opportunity to form a ministry for creation. We gladly welcome it. On the other hand, we must remember that the church is that community of God in His new creation. And this is a sketch of everything. Everything belongs to creation or new creation. And both are God's work. And we are called to be conscious of each of them, to be active in both, to glorify God through both. And we began with creation in our last two messages, and certainly one of the most contentious issues, yet we hold to creation as a matter of belief, a matter of conviction, a matter of persuasion, not that it contradicts science or anything, but it is a matter for us we accept as the revelation of God. No compromise, because belief in creation, as we said, yields a God-oriented outlook of life and salvation, which we cannot have outside of a creationist view. And on the ground of creation, creatures have the duty and delight to worship the triune God. Now from creation, we turn our attention to the reality of a new creation, already begun, in fact, already ongoing. And the question is, do you have eyes to see that new creation now ongoing? And for the last time, permit me to use again two passages, one in the Old and one in the New. In the Old Testament, turn to Isaiah 65, verses 17 to 25. Isaiah 65, verses 17 to 25. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come into mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem to be a joy and her people to be a gladness. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people. No more shall be heard in it the sound of weeping and the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not fill out his days. For the young man shall die 100 years old, and the sinner 100 years old shall be accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they shall be the offspring of the blessed of the Lord and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall graze together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, and dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. In the New Testament, turn please to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we'll read from verse 16 to verse 21. 2 Corinthians 5:16-21. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Well, Isaiah, you can divide almost neatly into two parts. The first part, chapters 1 to 39, is full of judgment, threats, warnings against the people of Judah because of their sins, the judgment of God in the form of Babylon as an alien nation that will captivate them is coming. There's judgment. But then from chapter 40 onwards to chapter 66, there is full of hope that despite the people's sins, God is going to do a new work. And this is the promise that God gives to the people of Judah. And how will this new work come to place? It will be through the person which in Isaiah is called the servant of Yahweh. And there are several servant songs in Isaiah. Probably the most popular is Isaiah 53. And there in the promise of the servant of Yahweh, the servant of the Lord, that new thing will come, will run its course. In our text, Isaiah's language of this new thing is tremendous. He describes it no less as new heavens and a new earth. What does that remind you of? Doesn't that remind you of Genesis 1:1? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the heavens and the earth fell in a cosmic tragedy because of man's sin. Now, in Isaiah, God is promising that there will be a new heavens and a new earth. No less than a new creation is promised. And this is the background that many forget when they read the very popular text of 2 Corinthians 5:17, where it says, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. The persistently popular but wrong interpretation is that it is the new person, the new self, the new individual. It is not. The background is Isaiah 65, and the background is about the new creation coming. And when Paul announced that it is now here, it is intended to create such a surprise, a pleasant shock. You mean Isaiah 65:17 is now here? I don't see it. But Paul is saying in Christ, it is now reality. He is saying something much bigger than just a new person or a new self. He's saying there is now in place a new creation. This is my simple message. In Christ, the new creation is now ongoing through the mission of the church. Kay Kristo ang bagong nilalang ay nagpapatuloy na sa pamamagitan ng misyon ng iglesia. In Christ, the new creation is now ongoing through the mission of the church. I said at the start, that only those with the eye of faith can perceive this truth. And to most, they don't see it because they don't have the eye of faith. They ask, what is this so-called new creation? Well, the prophecy of Isaiah is seen by Paul as fulfilled, not consummated, but nonetheless fulfilled now in Christ. Yet, the old creation is not yet terminated. It is still here. But the result is that there is an ongoing new creation, and yet the old creation is still here with us. Now you have to determine how the two are related to each other. And I suggest three. First, state of contradiction. Kalagayan ng pagsasalungat. State of contradiction. Second, call for reconciliation. Panawagan ng pagkakasundo. Call for reconciliation. And thirdly, move to consummation, patungo sa kahustuhan. Move to consummation. First then, we already have the new creation, yet in this still old creation, it creates a state of contradiction. May kalagayan ng pagsasalungat, paglalabanan. What is Isaiah describing as new heavens and a new earth? Now to most, it pertains to the final state of glory. Sa kanila, ang tinutukoy ni Isaias, yung kaduluduluhan na. Yung wala ng kasalanan, wala ng kamatayan, nasa dako na ng pangwalang hanggan. the problem with that is that if you look at Isaiah's description, idealized as it is still describing death. It's still pertaining to some sinners present, even as it is idealized. Now, others imagine that this pertains to what they call the millennial reign. And I don't want to go into that as of now. I just want to emphasize the tupol. Others may say it's glory. Others may say it is millennial reign. I say tupol. Tupol, while the old creation is still ongoing, but since Christ, that is, since his death and resurrection, the new creation is now in place. And it is ongoing. And what does that mean? The old creation is opposing the ongoing new creation, while the new creation confronts and challenges the old creation. Parang nag-uumpugan ito. Ang lumang nilalang ay lumalaban sa bagong nilalang, samantalang ang bagong nilalang ay hinaharap at hinahamon ang lumang nilalang. And I'm talking again of creation, not of mere individuals. The old creation refers to this fallen world, fallen in sin. It is the realm of sinful man opposed to the rule of Jesus Christ. Now, in the mercy of God, even in the old creation, there is much of the common grace of God. And by the common grace of God, I tell you often, it refers to those blessings of God short of salvation. And the world is full of that. The blessing of civilization, the blessing of science and advancement, the blessing of education, those are blessings short of salvation, and they are gifts of God. But mixed with those blessings are clear evidences of man's sinfulness. And I'm not even talking of crimes, though they are rampant. Man's sinfulness you see in man's innate selfishness, greed, lust, and all these other things that show the sinfulness of man. And they combine. You see them combining everywhere. Common grace, sinfulness in politics. Common grace, sinfulness in education. Common grace, sinfulness in business. They're everywhere. But since Christ, or rather, are Christians still part of the old creation? Obviously, yes. We are still in it. We still live in it. We suffer in it. We sin in it. But since Christ has completed his redemptive work, he has installed a new creation to confront that old creation. My friend, every time you hear the message of the gospel, you, if you belong to the old creation and you do not belong to Christ, you are hearing a confrontation coming from the new creation, telling you that you belong to the old creation that is bound to punishment and destruction. And yet you are being called. That's confrontation of the new creation. No longer is the old creation doing its rebellion against God unchallenged. There was a time that it did. Before the coming of Christ, remember ang sabi ni Pablo sa Athens in Acts 17, ito ay pinalampas ng Panginoon sa maraming panahon. The Lord has had exercised forbearance. But then, with the coming of Christ, what now? Acts 17:30. But now, there's the time transition. But now, God is calling all men everywhere to repent. What Paul is saying is that from now on, since the coming of Christ, the old creation's ways are no longer unchallenged. There's the new creation to call it to repentance. But now, because of Christ, you see, he's telling us that the Isaiah prophecy is now being fulfilled. Now, do you see what the persistently popular interpretation is missing? Popular interpretation is simply about myself. I'm a new creature. And it doesn't help that many translations make it, he is a new creation. The word he is not in the original. It should simply be translated blankly as, if anyone is in Christ, a new creation. Meron ng bagong nilalang. that which was thought to be far into the future has come in Christ. If you like, it is the opposite of the popular movie series Back to the Future. In this case, it is future forwarded to us. Diba sa Back to the Future, napunta sila sa past. At ngayon kalang bumalik sila sa future ng past na yon. Sa nangyari sa Panginoon, yung future pa, na-advance na, inabante na. Narito na yung bahagi ng future na yon. The future has been forwarded to us because of Christ. Therefore, the new creation is now here. It is in place. It is not yet complete. Nonetheless, it has begun. And one of the key issues of contradiction and tension is right here spelled out by Paul. How do you regard Christ? He says there was a time we regarded Christ in the flesh, that is, as one who belonged to the old creation, but we no longer do so. Now you, how do you regard Christ? Anong pagtatangi mo kay Jesucristo? Ano ang pagtingin mo sa Kanya? Para ba sa'yo siya ay isang relihiyosong lider ng nakalipas na may ginawang isang relihiyon na napaka-maimpluwensya ngayon? Para ba sa'yo si Jesus ay guro ng moralidad na napakaganda ng mga pagtuturo ukol sa asal? Nagkakamali ka kung yan ang iyong pagtingin, sapagkat ang ganyang pagtingin ay pagtingin pa rin ng lumang nilalang. Maaring gawin niya ng lumang nilalang na tingnan si Jesucristo bilang tao sa kasaysayan, maimpluwensya. But Paul is saying, if the new creation has dawned upon you, you will not regard Christ according to the flesh. He is Lord, Savior, now reigning as King. Is He that to you? Ganyan ba sa iyo si Jesucristo? And because of this confrontation and opposition, we experience it in the form of tension. Well, one of the most tense regions in the world is the 38th parallel. That is the parallel that divides North Korea and South Korea. It's supposed to be only one Korea, and yet divided by ideology, one democratic, the other personality cult. And though apparently the same in appearance and history, yet they are so different. Eh parang ganyan ang old creation at new creation. Pareho tayong mga taga-mundo, pareho tayong nabubuhay sa mga pareho ding larangan, pumapasok sa trabaho, kung saan sila pumapasok, ngunit nabibilang sa magkasalungat na nilalang. And how does that translate into the Christian's life? Well, understand the tension of living in two different ages as a church and as a believer. Nabubuhay tayo sa dalawang panahon. Nabibilang pa rin tayo sa mundong ito na lumang nilalang, ngunit kay Kristo, inilagay na tayo sa bagong nilalang. At ang kahulugan niyan sa atin ay tensyon, pagsasalungat. Now, some prefer the idea because they want to think of the new creation as the new person. It translates into two natures. They say, the Christian possesses two natures, one holy, one evil. And that is wrong, unbiblical, unhistorical, and it creates so many confusion. Nangyayari sa iba, ang Kristiyano parang third party na lang. Anong susundin ko? Yung holy nature o yung sinful nature? Eh, hindi po ganun. When you sin, it's not your nature who sins. It's you who sin. When you do that which is according to God's will, it is not a nature that does it, but you who does it. At conversion, it is not primarily you that has changed in person. After your conversion, you woke up the next morning, it's still you. You look at the mirror, nothing changed in appearance. Your weight remains the same. Everything is the same about you as a person. But what has happened when you were converted? Something unseen happened. In the language of Colossians 1:13, He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. That's what happened when you were converted. It's still you the same personality. Nothing has changed as far as person is concerned. But in the gracious will of God, you now live in two ages, in two creations, if you like. And it translates into tension. This is the way to understand the tension that Paul so memorably depicted in that controversial passage of Romans 7:14 and following. What I would that I do not, and that which I would not that I do. And he exclaims with, "Oh, wretched man that I am." How do you understand a passage like that? Well, this is how to understand it. This is a man who is conscious of living in two different ages, which translates into tension. The tension of loyalty to Christ, and yet the frailty and fragility of man is still unconsummated. So tension. Now, should the Christian then simply yield to sin and say, "Hey, talagang ganun, mayroon akong bahagi na nasa lumang nilalang pa rin, eh, yun ang nasusunod." No, that is wrong reasoning. A Christian belongs to the new creation and must confront the old creation, even in his own life. But you see, by understanding why there is tension and by accepting your personal responsibility, is be holy. In the language of John, do not sin. But then the reality of all creation is in the fact that if anyone sins, there is an advocate. Perhaps Martin Luther put it best in one of the most memorable Latin expressions of the Reformation, simul justus et peccator. A Christian is simultaneously righteous and sinner. And who would not say, any Christian here, who would not say, "I am, by the grace of God, I am righteous in Christ. And yet, being a sinner still, I sin." And that's what every Christian is. So, understanding this, you understand the state of contradiction. But then secondly, what is the call? There is a call for reconciliation. Knowing that there is still the sinful world, and yet the new creation, as it were, has invaded it, Paul clarifies the church's message. He says, "Through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." All mankind is divided by this line between the reconciled ones and the unreconciled ones. In a small building like this, how many are we? Yet in this crowd, there is that invisible line that separates the reconciled and the unreconciled. And the church is reaching out to fallen creation with the gospel of reconciliation. Ito ang mission natin bilang iglesia. Meron tayong mensahe ng pakikipagkasundo. Now, there are circles of believers who understand the difference between Christians and unbelievers. And the result or the approach that they derive from this is to adopt what they call a separatist stance to the world, even hostility to the world. That is not what we read in this passage. Because there is now a new creation, what is the message of the church? Paul says, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. The church is given a message from God to the world. And it's not separatism. It is a message of reconciliation. And reconciliation implies a condition of enmity, of two sides at war. One is in rebellion, the other is legitimate authority. And of course, here, the legitimate authority is God's authority. Mankind is in rebellion, but now God is reaching out his hand of amnesty, asking the world to be reconciled to his authority. That's our business. I remember when Cory Aquino became president as a result of that People Power movement, one of her first acts as president was to give general amnesty to all political prisoners, including the two most famous, Joma Sison, chairman of the Communist Party of the Philippines, and Bernabe Buscaino, better known as Commander Dante, the commander-in-chief of the New People's Army. So the two were reached out by the Cory government with an amnesty, and the two took opposite paths. Commander Dante, until now, is still head of a very fruitful cooperative in Central Luzon. He has made good use of the amnesty given to him. And as you know, Joma Sison is still an elderly leader of the Communist Party in the Philippines, based in the Netherlands, still fighting the government that has been so good to him in giving him an amnesty. And that is what happens even when we give the message of reconciliation. There will be those who will accept the offer of amnesty, will become believers and servants of God. And yet there are those who will reject that amnesty and will use the common grace of God to in their own ways. But for the church, look at the tremendous word Paul used in this text. We are ambassadors. Therefore, to the church, every member of the church, accept and join the ambassadorial mission of the church in the world. Tanggapin mo at makiisa ka sa gawain natin ng pagkakatawan sa ating Diyos sa misyon ng Iglesia sa mundo. Paul says, we are ambassadors for Christ. God making His appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Have you felt the implication of that? The weight of that? God making an appeal? He doesn't have to. But such is His concern for sinners. Sinners like you and me, that He is making an appeal, but it will not be through a thunderous voice from heaven. The appeal of God is going to be voiced by the church. And as ambassador of God in this pulpit, I appeal to you, do not reject the offer of amnesty. Do not reject the offer of reconciliation. You have lived long in an unreconciled state, an enmity with God. Perhaps it gives you some kind of kick that you are living your own freedom. But you are an enemy of God as long as you live outside of Christ. And here is this church appealing to you. Be reconciled. Do not live another day still unreconciled to God. There is Christ. He died. And the offer of His death is that your trespasses will no longer be counted against you. Isn't that a great offer? But if you would continue in an unreconciled state, woe be to you on the judgment day after hearing all these offers and nothing has happened. But this is the church, this is our ministry in this world, to keep appealing. And let us not give up the message that the government of Jesus Christ has commissioned us to send, a message of reconciliation. And that means it should be seen in the way we deal with our fellow men, that we are reconciled to God. That we do not live in hatred. Now we know William Wilberforce as the man whose advocacy has led to the abolition of slave trade, and that is true. But one thing that is hidden in the pages of history is one of the things that he has advocated is to abolish dueling. Duelo. Well, you know, those old cowboy films. Pag nagkasamaan ng loob ang dalawang lalaki, mukhang nagkakalalaki sa isa't isa, duelo tayo. And it was really a practice back in the 18th century, 18th and 19th century. In fact, one of the prime ministers of England challenged one of his rivals to duel. And Wilberforce wrote tremendously against that to show the error of that essentially. And it was one of the influences in the abolition of dueling. Well, it's just an extension of being reconciled to God. You don't want this hostility among your fellow men. There is a call for reconciliation. And then finally, there is a move to consummation. May pagtungo sa kaustuhan. Look at the words of the Apostle Paul. And this, I know, is one of the reasons why they doubt this interpretation of the new creation as creation itself. Because it says, the old has passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And obviously, it is not yet complete and full. The old are still there. And it is not all new. So how can you say this is the new creation? Well, this is the way the New Testament speaks of something that has now begun, but whose consummation is sure. It is like it is already here. Remember Romans 8:29, for whom he predestined, them he conformed to the image of his son, and those whom he has conformed, they have justified, and those whom he has justified, he has glorified. It is as good as true because it is certain, though concretely and experientially not yet full. And the same is true here. In Christ, this is certain. One day, old things are going to pass away, and all things will become new. Though in place, it is not yet full, it has begun. Nagsimula na. Nagumpisa na sa ating kapanahunan. This is the real future. Do not be deceived into placing your hope in an illusion of future. You may strive for wealth, and for a while it gives you some happiness, but it is an illusion of a future. So with fame, so with influence. The future is in Christ and the new creation. And those who feel the weariness of living the Christian life as the old creation presses hard on you, do not give in to defeatism. The new creation is here. It is ongoing. It is challenging the old creation. And be such a challenge. The world is not seeing it. They may even be mocking at the idea. But Jesus Christ is seeing to the consummation irresistibly, though to many imperceptibly. It is ongoing. From the super typhoon Yolanda, we learned of another natural phenomenon, the storm surge. It is when yung alo ng dagat ay dinala ng malakas na hangin. Ang pagkakaiba sa tsunami, kumilos ang lupa. Kaya nagkaroon ng malakas na alon. Sa storm surge, hangin, ang malakas na hangin ng bagyo. At dahil napakalakas ng Yolanda, yung storm surge, pag pumasok na sa mga sa lupain, mabilis ang pag-akyat. At narinig natin ang mga kwento ng mga biktima kung paanong dumating sa kanila ang daluyong ng dagat at hindi nila ito matakasan. Pati yung mayor ng Tacloban, kinailangang tumakbo sa itaas at butasin yung kanilang kisame para makatakas. In other words, there's irresistible force. And in a very slow manner, that's how the kingdom of Christ, the new creation, is advancing. Imperceptible, but irresistible. And it will be consummated one day. The challenge to us is live day by day in the reality of a new creation now and one day without the old creation. It is a danger to live any day with no consciousness but what you are and do in the old creation. Peligro para sa isang Kristiyano na sa araw-araw niyang buhay, wala siyang namamalayan kundi ang mundong ito. At hindi niya namamalayan na siya ibinilang na sa kaharian ni Jesu Kristo. It is a bad investment to put all your stakes in the old creation, for this old creation is bound to be terminated one day. We are not asked to abandon the old creation. We are in it. We live our testimony in it. But we live now in the new creation under the rule of Jesus Christ. Let us care for creation. That is part of our mandate to tend the garden God has given to us. But we have a new creation to promote and advance. Sometimes the advance seems all too negligible, while that of the old creation seems so dramatic and visible. But let me tell you, it is not a losing cause. Join the cause of the new creation amidst the mandate to care for the old creation, and one day they will meet when the Lord Jesus Christ shall come. And there will be the new heavens and the new earth in their consummation. But as of now, it is not yet. What we are asked to do is challenge our lives day by day to live as those who already belong to the new creation but must live still in this old creation. And from time to time, God will show evidences that the new creation is powerful. The new creation will have its victory one day, to be measured in our little victories day by day. Perhaps in a mother who, sa isang nanay na hirap sa kanyang gawain sa tahanan, ngunit sa katapusan ng araw ay may dahilan pa rin magpuri sa kanyang Panginoon sapagkat nakita niya ang kagkilos ng Panginoon sa kanyang buhay. Maaring sa isang nagtatrabaho na maraming mga pressure sa opisina, ngunit sa katapusan din ng araw ay makita niya kung paanong hinamon siya ng Panginoon na magpakaalagad, magpakita ng patotoong kabilang siya kay Hesukristo. At sa anumang paraan ay tingnan niya na ang kanyang buhay dito ay may mga pagpapalang hinding-hindi niya mabibilang hanggang sa siya ay makarating sa kawalang hanggan. Robert Murray McShane was one of the more fruitful preachers from Scotland. He had a fruitful ministry in his church, and he was a man who kept praying for revival to descend upon his church, but he wasn't seeing it. Well, one day, he had to take a vacation, and he went abroad. While abroad, he heard that his church had a revival in his absence. Using another man, William Chalmers Burns, to have that revival. Now, do you think McShane will have any jealousy over that? Of course not. He knew that this was the hand of God, and he praised God that it happened even in his absence. Robert Murray McShane would not live long. He would die at 29 years old. But somebody said of his preaching, he was almost dying to have you converted. And I wish I could do that, but it is not in my personality. But I want you to know, I want you to be reconciled to God. That is the message we have for 32 years. If you are yet unreconciled, why not now? Why wait? Come to Christ and be reconciled to Him. And then you will know how much we owe to our Lord Jesus Christ. The one song that carries the name of Robert Murray McShane in our hymn books is what we will sing as our last hymn, "When This Passing World Is Done, When Has Sunk the Radiant Sun. When I stand with Christ on high, looking o'er life's history, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe." Close in prayer. Dakila naming Diyos sa tama, kamanghamanghang katotohanan na tanggapin namin ito na kay Hesukristo sa kanyang unang pagparito, sa kanyang kamatayan at pagkabuhay na muli nang siya'y maluklok, ay inumpisahan na ang bagong nilalang. Hindi ito nakikita ng mga walang pananampalataya, at malimit ito ay napapalabo ng mga maling interpretasyon ng iyong salita. Ngunit dito'y tanggapin namin ang pahayag ni Pablo na hinango mula kay Isaias na ang pangako ni Yahweh sa lumang tipan ng bagong nilalang ay nagsimula na ang katuparan kay Hesukristo. And because it has begun, yet the old creation has not terminated, it would entail contradiction and tension. The old creation is opposing the new creation, and the new creation will no longer let the old creation be by itself but must confront it and challenge it. And help us, Lord, to be such a challenge. And yet help us to understand that we do live with a tension. And the tension means that we are to follow that standard. Do not sin. And yet we live with the reality. If anyone sins, there is an advocate with God. Grant that we may commit ourselves to living the life that belongs to the new creation of seeking holiness and avoiding sin and serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have called the church with a message of reconciliation. God, as it were, is appealing. And what a word it is to think that God should appeal, but He does through the voice of the church. We are your ambassadors in this world. We carry your message, and it is an official message we carry. You call sinners to reconciliation. And we pray, Lord, for those who hear, have long heard that message of reconciliation, yet remains unreconciled to God. May they realize, may you give them an awakening to the peril where they stand unreconciled to God while there is an offer of reconciliation. May they not delay. Let them see the privilege that is theirs to have this offer, and may they not live a day longer without receiving the offer of reconciliation. And help us to be a church that will be faithful to this message of reconciliation, doing the appeal, pleading with men and women that they be reconciled to God. And help us to understand that the new creation has a certain future, imperceptible yet irresistible. It will have its victory one day. And we pray, Lord, for those who are investing exclusively in the old creation, that it is a losing cause. It will have its termination. And help us to be believers who are conscious day by day that we have the new creation to enable us, to empower us, and the new creation that we represent in this old creation. Help us to live day by day in the reality of that new creation, and grant that we may truly long for the day when we shall praise you with unsinning heart. And it is on that day that we will just begin to know how much we owe to you. We pray all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.